Please note, this podcast is for inspiration only and is not a substitute for professional help. We don't want to walk this healing path alone. I mean, we can't walk it alone. We need some form of support along the way. Oftentimes, that support can come in the form of friends and family, a mentor, and sometimes support looks like paying someone with the experience to guide us. Maybe a therapist or even a coach. You know me. I don't shy away from opening up about my own experiences. I'm currently under the supervision of a psychiatrist. I also see a therapist once a week. And I've employed the help of coaches in the past and plan to hire more coaches for my goals in the future. I'm not against someone seeking out help in areas of mental health, business development, relationships, or life in general. What I am against is people being swayed by coaches, consultants, or even therapists that they see on social media who use manipulative tactics to lure vulnerable people into their programs. Welcome to the series Guidance Grove, where experts, educators, and advocates share insights to help us along our healing journeys. Today you will hear from Danielle Ryan. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt when I randomly came across one of Danielle's YouTube videos. There I was scrolling on YouTube and my eyes lit up when I saw an intriguing video. I started watching it and thought, finally, someone is saying what I have been thinking. Someone is finally calling out the manipulative, tricky tactics I see smothered all over my social media feed. If you are considering seeking out help from a life coach, mindset coach, fitness coach, business coach, any type of coach for that matter, you don't want to miss this episode. Remember, we are not discouraging you from hiring a coach to help you. We are simply discussing manipulative tactics and red flags that you may want to be aware of on your search for the right coach that will actually be there for you.
Welcome to the Streets of Our Lives. On this podcast, we reflect on the roads that shaped us and collect wisdom to light the way ahead. Let's walk the path to healing one step at a time.
Don't get me wrong. I use social media every day, be it for fun or for work. I've met many of my podcast guests through social media. I've met clients through social media. I've even met some of my closest friends through social media. You can meet some wonderful people online, but if you're not careful, you can also find people who are selling a lot of fluff and telling you straight up lies. And Danielle knows exactly what I'm talking about. She was having fun on TikTok and YouTube, creating small business related content and sharing behind the scenes videos about life as a yoga studio owner. Around that same time, she started seeing other people post content about the quote unquote life of a business owner. But it was nothing like her life or the lives of other business owners she knew. People were posting extremely unrealistic, idealized versions of what it was like to have your own business. They were selling a lie to their viewers, and that didn't sit well with Danielle. Then she started noticing another pattern. She was seeing online coaches in various industries, posting videos, making huge claims, and essentially guaranteeing the same results if people joined their coaching programs.
Again, I was seeing all this questionable stuff happening, and I was thinking about my own experience working with a coach and how it wasn't that great. And I thought, I'm going to briefly share my experience and talk about like what I think those red flags are and why I think it's problematic. And basically what happened was that video outperformed any of my other content, because we're all, you know, little mules of the algorithm. And I was like, oh, people are actually interested in talking about this. And then I discovered, you know, the subreddit where everyone's sharing their coaching experiences. And I really just kind of found my space that way from realizing that there were other people who had had a similar experience to me. and that no one was really talking about it beyond snarking about it on Reddit. So I was like, let's create a platform where people can share our experiences, share cautionary tales, and hopefully help other people not get scammed.
I am so grateful Danielle decided to pursue these topics. Her YouTube videos are informative, entertaining, and supportive. She has years of experience speaking to these topics, and I knew I wanted to invite her to share her insights on this podcast. While The Streets of Our Lives is a podcast focused on mental health topics, I know that many people on their healing journeys will come across coaches in all sorts of spaces, especially since many of us are trying to improve not just our mental health, but our lives in general. Maybe we left an unhealthy workplace, so we seek out a business coach to help us start a business. Maybe we need a new perspective shift, so we seek out a mindset coach. Maybe we recognize that being physically active is a form of self-care, so we seek out a fitness coach. Maybe we have a variety of different goals and are looking for overall accountability, so we seek out a life coach. There are amazing coaches in all these areas. But there are also coaches who, in my opinion, are more harmful than helpful. Because she has researched all sorts of coaches, I asked Danielle which type tends to utilize harmful, manipulative tactics with their clients.
Yeah, I don't think it really extends to one specific type of coaching per se, so much as like the way in which certain coaches, regardless of niche, choose to market themselves. So you could have mindset coach A, Jane Doe, who is amazing and doesn't make outlandish claims and genuinely offers people, you know, this is the problem that I can help you work through, or this is what we're going to accomplish together. And then you have coach B, who also identifies as a mindset coach. We'll call her Sarah. But Sarah's on Instagram telling you she has the most magical transformational thing that's going to solve every problem under the sun. And you can just follow my 5-step system and you're going to get results. The same could be said for a fitness coach or a business coach or whoever. I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's like, what are the claims these people are making? Are they realistic? What is their intention? I often tell people, like, consider what that individual has to gain from getting you to believe whatever it is they're saying. I was just reading through a submission someone sent me. For people that are listening, I offer people the opportunity to send their stories to me so I can read them out on the channel. And so I was reading through a submission, and this woman was sharing her story of how this coach would basically say things to her. She had told the coach she wanted to cut the relationship off. Like, I think I got what I needed. I think we're done here. And the coach basically created a laundry list of problems that now the woman understands didn't exist, but to try and trick her into thinking that she had, you know, well, we haven't addressed this and we haven't addressed that. And so it's that kind of manipulation, I think, that can really either get people into these coaching relationships or get people stuck in these coaching relationships. And so, again, considering what is the coach's intention and getting me to believe this story, and is it actually beneficial to me if I believe it, or is it more so beneficial to them? And I don't think that that really is niche dependent. I think we see it, or at least I've seen it from stories people have told me across all sorts of different types of coaching.
Danielle doesn't just research and offer commentary on the coaching industry, but she also offers a space where her followers can share their own experiences. Like she mentioned, her followers will send her submissions, aka scam stories, about their negative experiences working with a coach. Danielle told me how cathartic this is for the individuals who submit their stories. She said that it's also encouraging for her viewers to hear the scam stories that she shares because they realize they aren't alone and no longer feel so alienated in their experiences. I mean, if you don't hear others talking about it, you will start to question yourself, thinking, am I crazy? Am I the only one who's gone through this? And then you may even start to blame yourself, saying, maybe it's my fault. I just attract manipulative people into my life. Speaking of manipulation, let's find out what other tactics some coaches may use to attract you to their programs.
Another common one is coaches not respecting a professional client boundary and basically treating clients as friends. Even if, like, before you've signed up to be my client, I might be commenting on all your Instagram posts, in your DMs, sharing personal stories about my own life to try and build that rapport, and essentially fostering a relationship or a friendship with the individual, eventually under the guise that you're going to sell to them. And I mean, we see that in MLM as well. Like, oh, I love what you're doing. I think it's so amazing. By the way, I have this $1,000,000 program that if you buy it, it'll help you get even further. And so to me, that is incredibly manipulative to build a friendship, I say that in quotations, with someone only under the intention of hopefully getting money out of them in the long run. That's like a super common one across niches, mindset coaching, spiritual coaching, business coaching. It's there.
Danielle got me hyped up when she mentioned that tactic because that very thing happened to me on Instagram. So here's the story. This gal randomly followed me and reached out in DMs, and she started up a lighthearted discussion. I was really enjoying talking to her about our shared interests and things in common. I remember thinking that I might be making a new online buddy. I mean, it happened before, so why not again? Well, after a while of chatting, the conversation then shifted to her trying to get me to buy and sell Monate. At the time of this recording, Monate is a multi-level marketing company selling hair products. Right then and there, I realized that the whole time we were chatting, she was just trying to get me to join her upline and sell hair products with her. It felt dirty and I felt used, which is ironic because we're talking about hair cleaning products, but I digress. Not only that, but I also was dumbfounded. At the time she was using her tactics on me, I had a full-on buzz cut. Yes, as in no hair on my head. So I wasn't using shampoo, at least not expensive MLM shampoo. I thought to myself, why would she want to recruit me to sell shampoo? People aren't going to purchase hair products from a woman without hair. What in the world was she thinking? If you're going to prey on a potential seller to join your upline, maybe try to talk to women with actual hair. Needless to say, when I politely turned down this gal's offer in the DMs, she never reached out to me again. She didn't want to be an online friend. She was just using manipulation to try to recruit me.
I think it works on a lot of people in many circumstances because it's preying on people's desire or need for connection, right? And so if someone's coming to you and pretending to befriend you while also offering you the solution to that problem, you're going to be much more vulnerable and susceptible to taking what they say at face value and trusting them because you feel like you're friends.
It's easy to fall for one of these traps. And once you're in the coaching program, you may find that it can affect you negatively in more ways than one. Danielle has received and shared many submissions from people who have explained how their finances, relationships, and mental health have been affected after working with an unscrupulous coach.
So I think that the emotional, financial, any kind of implications from a coaching relationship are going to vary quite drastically person to person, but I can speak to a few different experiences, including my own. So for me, in total, I probably spent close to $5,000 on various different coaches throughout my time trying to cosplay as a coach myself. And for me, that wasn't like a make or break situation. I didn't end up in dire financial need because I had spent that money, fortunately. However, I have spoken with numerous individuals at this point who have spent upwards of $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 investing in these coaches because what often happens, and again, this is just anecdotal based on these conversations I've had, is you enter a coaching relationship. Maybe that one works really well. You continue to invest. You know, you continue to buy their next level offer, next level offer, next level offer, which typically involves a higher price tag at each point. And then maybe you reach a point of resistance where this relationship isn't working anymore. And so then you hire a different coach because it worked for me before. Maybe this just isn't the right fit. I've already spent so much money, you know, that sunk cost fallacy of how much you've already invested. this next program is going to be the golden ticket. And again, these people are using those manipulative marketing tactics to convince you that, okay, well, maybe that program didn't work because ABC, but in my program, I have the solution. And so then you're spending whatever, another $10,000, $20,000 on person number two. And it just kind of escalates from there until you have that sort of waking moment where you're like, oh my God, I've gotten myself so far into this hole and I'm not seeing a return. There comes a point where eventually you just have to cut it off. And that's what has been told to me from some of these people who have ended up so far in debt specifically, was they just didn't really have a choice because it was like, I either continue to pay my coach or I pay my rent for the month. Like, which one are you going to choose? That kind of speaks to the financial implications. Obviously, with that comes a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of regret. I know even in my own experience, even though it was only, I say in quotes, $5,000, that's still a lot of money. And I was so embarrassed. I have told this story many, many times, but I think it took me probably over 4 years before I even told like my partner that I had spent that money. Because I felt so much shame. How could I be so stupid to fall for what this person had told me when from an outsider's perspective, it's like, well, obviously, she's not going to be able to teach you how to make a whatever $10K a month business. But again, when you're in that vulnerable state of trusting these people, thinking they're looking out for your best interest, you're going to open your wallet because you want to believe that what they're telling you is true. And so I think the shame, the guilt, and the regret that can come with some of these investments, particularly from the financial aspect, is one piece. But then in a lot of cases, fortunately, this wasn't my experience, but I know it has been the experience of many others, the coaching relationships themselves can become very toxic, especially in the situations where we see certain people sort of like crossing the boundaries of coaching versus therapy and maybe like acting in certain ways or doing certain exercises that are outside of their scope with their clients. And so then that's when we can really start to see the trauma, the emotional harm being caused that can have longer term implications beyond just like feeling regretful of your investment. You're seeing people causing actual harm and actual damage that then needs to be worked out in therapy or with some sort of licensed professional after the relationship has dissolved.
You are listening to The Streets of Our Lives with Lena LaRue. If this episode resonates with you, would you please take 2 minutes to leave a rating on your favorite podcast app? Speaking of which, if you write an Apple review, I might even read it on a future episode. You're also welcome to send in your listener submissions or fill out a guest interest form if you'd like to potentially join me on a future episode. And if you'd like to support the podcast further, you can purchase a wellness journal from my shop or buy me a tea. All the links will be in the show notes. I just want to thank you for being here, and I want you to know that your support is greatly appreciated. Now, back to today's episode. It is heartbreaking to know that there are people who unfortunately hired these unethical coaches and ended up with not only massive debt, but emotional damage. And the harm usually doesn't stop there. There are social implications as well.
I've heard stories of people, maybe not so much the financial implications, but the relationship piece of like, okay, if I'm deep enough in this coaching relationship where I'm blindly following whatever Sally is telling me is the truth, and my husband, my girlfriend, whoever is saying like, maybe you should think for yourself, you start to push the people in your life away who don't think the same thing your coach thinks. I've done a couple of videos on the concept of like a lot of what we're seeing specifically in like the coaches who coach other coaches sort of space. But I think in various parts of the industry, we see it. It's very like cult-like behavior almost of like, this is what is true. You have to believe what I say. If you do not, you will be exiled from the group. And so out of fear of being excluded, you blindly follow Sally's advice. Even despite the fact that your friends, your family, your partner, whoever is saying like, Danielle, I don't know about this. It can be really dangerous and compromising to the actual valuable relationships in your life. If you start to compromise on the things you believe in, the way that you act, the way that you speak, out of like trying to seek validation from this person you are paying money to. So it's like you want to maintain that friendship, but is that friendship even legitimate? I think that that can have a lot of really bad mental implications as well.
You become manipulated by the crooked coach you hired and believe everything they say. They encourage you to push away your friends and family, the people who have been there for you. Yes, this definitely feels very cult-like. It's so sad, especially because once you stop paying them, they're gone. They don't have time for you anymore. And now you're alone because you pushed everyone else away.
And I think that that kind of explains how some people can end up so far in it financially. Because, well, if I stop paying Sally, whatever, $10,000 a month, who am I going to have left? I lost all my friends. I lost my family. And so now I have to start over. Like, that sounds terrifying. I think I'll just keep feeding her money because I need that validation or like that sense of security.
Danielle doesn't hide the fact that in the past, she was adamantly against all coaches. Her stance was that they are all bad. Since then, she has changed her stance. She now believes there are good ethical coaches. Unfortunately, based on all the research she's done and all the horror stories she has heard, she feels there are so many unethical coaches around that give the rest a bad name. So I asked Danielle, what red flags should one look for when evaluating a coach?
Honestly, before you even reach that point, the most important piece to understand is what it is you're actually seeking help for. Because too often, I think we don't take the time to assess what is the actual outcome I want to achieve here. And instead, we just look at, you know, Jane Doe is offering you the flashy opportunity to lose 20 pounds or make $10 million. And you're like, oh, shiny object syndrome. That sounds amazing. I'm going to hire her. Rather than being like, Danielle, what is my goal for the next 6 months in my life or in my business? And having the idea before you even seek out any help whatsoever of what the outcome is you're trying to achieve, and then determining, is this right for a coach? Do I need a personal trainer? Do I need a business consultant? Like, who is the person that's going to be the one to get me to achieve that goal? Once you figured that out, let's say you did that work, you figured, okay, a coach is the right option for me. I want you to really take the time and carefully observing how that coach shows up on the internet, what kind of claims they're making, what kind of clients they're working with. I know specifically in a lot of the content I look at, obviously, is like the coaches coaching coaches. It's very easy for me to go to your website and see that all of your past clients are also coaches. And I don't want to be a coach. I just want some regular life coaching. Okay, maybe you're not going to be the right coach for me. So taking the extra time to do your due diligence and see what kind of results do these people claim to have. Don't be afraid to maybe reach out to some of those people. A lot of people are on Instagram, they're on Facebook, wherever. See if you can find them, reach out to them. Hey, what was your experience like working with Lena? Get honest feedback from people and don't just take whatever the coach is telling you at face value, because it's very easy to manufacture testimonials, as I'm sure many people know. And oftentimes a lot of the like video testimonials, that kind of thing, are recorded at like the high that someone is riding in a program. And so you always want to allow yourself the time to not just take what you see online and believe it to be true without sitting with it, critically thinking, and just kind of assessing, does this sound like a realistic outcome in the time frame that's being promised to me? Or does it sound too good to be true? Because 9 times out of 10, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Anyone can say anything. People can exaggerate or just flat out lie about anything.
And as long as they show up confidently enough and they're charismatic and they speak articulately, so many people are likely to believe whatever they're saying. Like, I see people, especially in the business niche, because that's where I'm at, I see so many people sharing like horrible business advice, things you should never do, but they show up and they talk like this. And these are the 3 things that are going to get your business to your first $5,000. So if I say it in a way that sounds legitimate, you're going to take it at face value and run with it. And it's just so scary as someone who's been in the space now for 7+ years to watch newbies enter the market and just cling on to whatever so-and-so is saying. Like, it's a dangerous world out there.
I got hyped up here by what Danielle said about business coaches. I went on a rant about it, actually. And after listening to our conversation during editing, I found it so entertaining, so I decided to leave it in the episode. I hope you enjoy my frustrated rant.
The one that gets me the most is when people tell you how easy it is to sell digital products or ebooks. And it's like, okay, technically it can be easy to sell those. Not even that easy, but did you know that you have to, at least in the US, I don't know how it is in Canada, for digital products in the US, you actually have to also, whether you charge the person who buys the digital product or not, you have to pay sales tax to the state typically of where the person that bought it from you is from. I don't know if in the US it's called sales nexus. Okay. No one freaking talks about nexus. No one talks about how you need to track, or maybe if you have like a certain system that tracks, like I use Stripe, and so it can track how much, I guess, like the nexus, the levels of the sales tax, right, that someone has to pay. And so, but once you get to a certain level, it's like, oh, now you need to go contact that state and register, submit the sales taxes, right? No one talks about it. They're just, oh yeah, just sell an ebook online. It's so easy. You can make it in Canva, you know, put it on here and boom, you're good. It's like, you best be careful because, I mean, if the IRS, like they need money, they're going to pay attention. Oh, like this influencer on Instagram, they have these links and they're selling, seems like they're selling a lot of these ebooks, but we haven't gotten any sales tax from it. That's the kind of stuff that grinds my gears. A real business coach, an actual business coach, consultant, advisor is going to freaking talk about that kind of stuff with you. They're going to talk about finances. They're not going to just talk about making content and when's the best time to post and your mindset.
Danielle apparently didn't mind me ranting and totally agrees that these so-called business coaches often leave out vital advice for business owners.
Everyone wants to talk about like the fun, pretty parts of being a business owner, and no one's actually helping you understand the logistics of owning a business. Example A, how do you even build a business? Sell something people actually want. You don't just like manufacture a problem that doesn't exist, which is something that we see time and time again in coaching specifically of like, I'm going to become a coach for some imaginary problem that I just invented, not something people actually want coaching for. So as an aside.
Going back to what we were talking about before we went on our little business coach rant, Danielle's advice about knowing what you want first is crucial. Frankly, it's something that I didn't even consider. And she's right. If we want to avoid getting suckered into a coaching program by an unethical coach using manipulation tactics, we have to figure out what type of support we actually need. We will be less likely to fall for a scam if we are confident in our goals. But let's just say that it's too late and one was already burned by a coach. What should people do if they have a negative experience?
Obviously, not everyone is going to start a YouTube channel talking about it on the internet. That's probably not an option. But I think finding spaces, as much as I say, like social media is terrible, the internet is the worst, it's also great for being able to build connections with people who have similar shared experiences or lived experience, sorry. So for me, finding, like I mentioned earlier, something like the Life Coach Snark subreddit was so healing in being able to read through other people's stories just to simply solidify in my brain the fact that, like, I wasn't crazy. I wasn't stupid. I just happened to fall victim to something that so many other people have also been burned by. And so creating, and I don't want people to like create online communities where, like, I find sometimes in that subreddit, people can get like really nitpicky and then they're like attacking the individuals and saying just like not so nice things. I don't condone that so much as just like having a safe space or building relationships with people who can relate to your story, exercise empathy, and feel for the experience that you had. I think that can be incredibly validating, especially when it comes to processing those feelings of shame and guilt. Understanding that Second, it's going to be highly dependent on the relationship you have with that particular coach. For me, the relationship I had, it wasn't really conducive to me being able to give any type of feedback whatsoever. So I didn't have the opportunity to tell my coach that I felt like I didn't get what I had paid for in a way that felt safe to me. In my story that I shared on my YouTube channel, there was an opportunity where the coach reached out to me and asked if I wanted to re-sign. Sure, I could have written an email back and been like, I actually hated everything that we did together, but I'm a people pleaser and I would never do that. I don't want to hurt someone's feelings. However, had I been given an anonymous Google form that I could have filled out, I would have had a heyday, right? So if there's the opportunity to provide feedback in a way that feels safe for you, then that could be an option. Again, otherwise, spaces online are an opportunity for you to be able to feel validated in that experience.
I like Danielle's suggestions for those who have been burned by a bad coach to essentially take back control in a way that feels safe and supportive. That feels empowering to me. Speaking of feeling empowered, I asked Danielle what she thinks consumers can do to affect change in the coaching industry.
So in terms of what people can do to change the industry, I think that we're starting to see a shift now. I think with people being more vocal about their maybe not so positive experiences, we're starting to see, or at least I've noticed, I don't know if you have, a lot of people more publicly questioning, you know, why are we always talking about how much money we've made? Or why are we promising a one-size-fits-all solution for people regardless of their experience or problem? Why are we, insert, you know, reason here? There's a lot more of that discourse, I think. I spend a lot of time on Threads, so I see a lot of it happening there. I see it on Instagram. I see it on YouTube, Reddit, all different places of the internet. People starting to question what was maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years ago just accepted at face value as like, oh, well, this person has a ton of followers. What they're saying must be true. We're seeing a lot more accountability happen in the space. And again, I think it's through having those conversations, being willing to show up and say, whether you're sharing your own experience of like, this is what happened to me, or you're simply just asking questions. You know, I saw Coach Sarah offering XYZ. Does this seem legit, or would you be able to provide me feedback? I see TikToks all the time of people being like, I was given this opportunity. Should I do it or should I ask questions? And then you'll see people in the comments like, oh my God, no, or oh my God, sounds great. Having those open conversations with people is what's going to change the industry, because if these people who are quote unquote bad actors in the space start to recognize that the tactics they've been using up until now aren't working anymore, and often that happens through declining revenue in their business, which is something I've allegedly heard has been happening for many of these people throughout the course of 2024, there's going to come a moment where they're like, maybe I need to change my behavior and start offering people something other than just selling them air. Consumers have more power than they think they do, provided they're willing to show up, have conversations, and ask questions.
All right, you heard her. We can't be afraid to speak up about our experiences. We also can't be afraid to ask questions. What does that look like? Well, like Danielle says, do your research online. Ask other people online about their opinions and try to find as much information about the coach you can. Type in their name or their program name into Google. Maybe see if anyone is talking about them on the Reddit website. Most importantly, don't be afraid to ask the coach direct questions about how they work with their clients. Be as specific as possible when asking them about their program before signing contracts or handing over any money. And of course, be polite. You don't want to accuse them of being untrustworthy. After all, they may be one of the good ones. Speaking of good coaches, I was curious if Danielle had any advice for coaches who are actually doing the things the right way.
Now, in terms of like, what can coaches who are doing good work do to show up in the space and maybe differentiate themselves from these bad actors? I think a lot of it comes down to, as much as I hate using this word because it's so overused in the online space, authenticity. Showing up with your skill set, your knowledge, what you are actually capable of helping people with, and sharing that in a way that's realistic, that's true to your experience, true to your understanding and not trying to create these grandiose promises or claims that sound too good to be true, just as a means of enticing people to want to work with you. I think anyone who is looking for a service provider of any kind should want to connect with someone who feels that like sense of relatability and understanding. And while sure, it's easy to get clients under the guise of like selling them this dream life, I think the ones that are going to succeed in the long term are the ones that make realistic promises, but then have the ability to deliver on those realistic promises. Because I can promise you the world, and sure, you might pay me $5,000, but when you don't get the results you want, I'm burning that bridge, and then I have to go find another client. Whereas if I can actually make a claim to you that I'm able to help deliver on, and then I do successfully deliver on that claim, you're much more likely to either refer me to your friends or continue to hire me again, and so on and so on and so on. So if we think about like sustainability in the long term, it's about not being a liar and actually being realistic about what's within your wheelhouse to be able to help clients achieve.
While we did spend the majority of the conversation discussing manipulative coaching tactics and how to avoid shady coaches, we both recognize there are indeed honest coaches out there doing good for their clients.
Coming back to our conversation about having these conversations online, as much as we can say, like, if you've been burned, talk about it on the internet, I think it's also true in the opposite that, like, if you have a positive coaching experience, don't be afraid to share it online. Don't be afraid to refer your friends or post a review publicly where other people can see it outside of like the coach's website. Because there are people that are still actively seeking out coaching relationships. And I think one of the best ways we can avoid getting burned is hearing from people who have had transformative experiences and vet potential coaches through that experience. So I just wanted to add that. I don't want it to all seem like every coach is horrible and everyone's awful and we should just complain about it. There's also an opportunity to seek out positive experiences and to share those positive experiences if you have them.
I admit, I was a little nervous to air this episode, mainly because I have close relationships with coaches in various spaces. Life coaches, health coaches, fitness coaches, mindset coaches, business coaches, you name it. And like I said before, I have been a client in different coaching programs and plan to continue seeking out the help of coaches in the future. Regardless, this topic needs more light on it. These things need to be shared. I really don't want people to end up in a dark, dangerous place financially or mentally because they didn't actively do their research before hiring a coach. Let's give a big thank you to Danielle for not only joining me on this episode, but for all the energy and hours of work she dedicates to informing people online. It's obvious she really cares and doesn't want more people to fall prey to predatory online schemes. If you're interested in checking out her YouTube channel, you will find more information in the show notes. The biggest takeaway from my conversation with Danielle is this. While there are many people online selling hot air, you don't have to fall for their tricks. You have more power than you realize. There are reputable people out there with solutions to help you. You just have to be intentional about assessing what it is you truly need and determining who can actually support you along the way. Thank you for listening to Guidance Grove. I hope the insights shared today can serve you along your journey. Until next time. This is Lena LaRue. I'll see you on the streets.
Thank you for joining us today. As you navigate your journey, remember, healing isn't linear. The path may twist and turn. Some days you will sprint, other days you will stumble. But this doesn't mean you are lost. It means you are making progress. Keep going. You're doing better than you think.